USARadio.com. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? Their unique red hat? Their colorful parades? What about helping kids?
I think a lot of people think the Shriner guys have circuses and drive around in go-karts or whatever. But I don't think the nation quite gets it. You get it when you come here, though.
Shriners Hospitals provide children with some of the world's best orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injury medical care. And they combine that care with progressive teaching and world-class research programs. Could it get any better? Actually, it does, because the Shriners provide their expert medical care to children totally without charge. Sure, the Shriners have a lot of fun, but helping kids is a part of that fun. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, and today I hope to have as my guest, Jim Mars. He is an author and reporter. He's the author of the book called The War on Freedom, The 9/11 Conspiracies, and he actually argues that the U.S. government was complicit in the 9/11 attacks. It's a pretty strong argument, and I want to talk, before I bring him on the air, a little bit about my concerns, I guess, of these arguments, and also my producer's trying to reach Jim Mars at the moment, so hopefully he's successful. First of all, you should know a little bit about who Jim Mars is. He hasn't just written on 9/11. He's written on topics such as the Kennedy assassination and also some more, let's say, out there topics, things like UFOs, clairvoyance, and the like. And he has argued, as have some of my other guests on the show, people like David Griffin and Alex Jones and others, that the government actually was involved in the 9/11 attacks. Now, I want to hear from Jim Mars. I want to hear all his evidence, and I know we won't have that much time in an hour to do that, which is why we're frantically trying to reach him on the telephone. But before we get him, I just want to talk about this topic a little bit, because I know a lot of listeners have asked me to have people like Jim Mars on the show, and I'm always happy to have on air people with whom I disagree. Here's my problem, I guess, and I expressed it in a blog entry, which you could read in more detail on today's entry. My concern is that sometimes people on the left and on the right overreach. They believe that every single thing that's bad in the world is caused by their political enemies. And I, for one, have not in any way been shy about pointing out really vicious things going on in this administration. After all, I came on the radio to begin with following the selection of 2000 that put Bush in office in an unconstitutional coup d'etat. In fact, I wrote the brief for the Congressional Black Caucus challenging that. So I'm well aware of what this administration is up to. And as I argue in my blog entry, there are many, many awful things this administration has done, provably awful things. Everything from corruption, I've talked about bribes on the floor of Congress, and all the bribes going from Bush's political friends to him, to Dick Cheney, people like on the Energy Commission that has turned around and given them a large amount of taxpayer dollars. I've talked about that, the massive debt that this administration is putting us in. And yes, I've talked about failures on 9/11. There's no question that the administration had ample evidence that an attack was to occur. Richard Clark called it the summer of threat back when he was working in the administration. Condoleezza Rice received a detailed memo, bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States, and yet Bush was stuck there in his vacation house in Crawford. So there are many things the administration could have and should have done on September 11th. But when it comes to arguing further, when it comes to saying actually that the administration was behind 9/11, not just that they misused it, there's no question they've misused it. There's no question they planned to go to war in Iraq long before September 11th. We know that because we have the documents. We've actually seen the documents showing oil fields in Iraq split up to various companies way back on January 30, 2001. We have that evidence. We know that Bush has misused 9/11, used it for every thing on the sun that he wants, whether it's tax cuts for the super rich or justifying an unjustifiable war or even using it to divide Americans, to claim that those who did not believe that Bush should have everything he wants, including shredding the Constitution, holding people in jail for without trial forever in violation of the Bill of Rights. He used 9/11 for all of these things, and I don't deny any of it. In fact, I talk about it often on this program. That's indeed why I try to bring you all the news from Washington the government doesn't want you to know. But at the same time, I have to be credible. I have to be believable. I can't just take every conspiracy theory out there and assert it as true unless I believe it to be true. So we're trying to get Jim Mars on the line, but when we get him there, I just want you to understand when I ask him some tough questions. It's not that I think the Bush administration is some wonderful thing. I think people who've heard this show know I'm not a fan of this administration. But I believe that any attacks on the administration have to be credible, have to be documented by evidence. So I'm going to ask Jim Mars, if we can get him on the line, some tough questions. Because if he's arguing, you know, things that I find incredible, things like that there was no plane that attacked the Pentagon, things like that the World Trade Center actually came down due to explosives and not due to airplane attacks, stuff like that, which I know is all over the web, and I know that some of you listeners believe it, I need ample evidence because I need to be clear that the evidence is strong before I assert it on the air. And let me just give you one last reason why, and then hopefully we'll get Jim Mars on the air here. Karl Rove, the president's Rasputin-like advisor, has made a very strong political tactic of mixing really true, awful things the administration has done with finding one untrue thing that people have claimed. They did it to an expert tactic in discussing Bush being AWOL. And I want to describe that tactic when we come back, because what I think it shows is we have to be very careful and only accuse the administration of things that we can definitely prove. Otherwise, it hurts everything we say. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
What some people are saying about your morning with Jim Harrington and friends.
How are you? It's your old pal, Porky, and you're listening to your oh, forget it.
Everybody's a ham. Your morning with Jim Harrington and friends, Monday through Friday, right here.
Your morning, 6 to 10 Eastern Time on the Talkstar Radio Network.
The most famous television documentary ever produced was Victory at Sea, which was as noted for the swelling musical score by Richard Rodgers as the amazing footage from World War II gathered from over 13,000 hours of footage from U.S., British, German, and Japanese navies. RetroTelevision.com offers you 26 episodes of Victory at Sea, stunningly reproduced on DVD for just $19.95. The original 26 episodes are presented uncut with every note of Richard Rodgers' original score for just $19.95. To take advantage of this offer, go online to www.retrotelevision.com. That's R-E-T-R-O, retrotelevision, you got to spell out television.com. Or go to talkstarradio.com to get your set of Victory at Sea episodes for just $19.95.
For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream, not a reality. For them, a brighter future might be within view, but not within reach. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help the thousands of children who need to be given that opportunity. Call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We now have on the line Jim Mars. I apologize for the difficulty we had reaching you. Mr. Mars, in the little bit of the introduction, I explained to my listeners a little bit about who you are and why, frankly, I have to admit I'm a little skeptical of what you have to say, not because I don't think that this is a bad administration. I think it's an awful administration, but because I think that the allegations you make are, well, pretty incredible. So I'd like you to take me through some of the things that you think have the strongest evidence, and give me the kind of evidence that would convince me if I were sitting on a jury.
Okay. Well, first, of course, my latest book is Inside Job, Unmasking the 9/11 Conspiracy. So let's go back to 9/11, because after all, that is the foundation of everything that's come after that. You know, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security invasion in Afghanistan and Iraq, and now they're trying to drum up support against Iran. So we really have to go back, and I am apolitical, okay? I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. And I don't really much care who's in office as long as they are working in the best interests of the people of the United States of America. But I don't see what's going on being in the best interest of this country.
And I agree with you. But
okay,
I agree.
But going back to 9/11,
please.
Let's look at that, and we'll hit the high points here.
Okay.
All right, first off, almost nothing we were told officially, and that's been supported by the Bush Pact 9/11 Commission, has proven to me and perhaps millions of others that what happened on 9/11 is as they say it happened. Let's start with the strikes themselves. What we now know that we did not know then, and it was kept secret and was even branded as an internet hoax for almost a year until Richard Clark, the counterterrorism chief, published his own book, is that they were conducting a series of war game exercises the morning of 9/11. This might explain why the FEMA emergency management team arrived in New York the night before. How could it be a surprise if they're there? Well, they may have been there for the war game exercises. And these exercises were Cold War scenarios, sending planes off into Canada and 150 miles out over the Atlantic. This was a perfect time to strike the United States, and it was these war game exercises which confounded our $40 billion defense system. According to Richard Clark, when he called General Myers of NORAD and said, "Have you launched interceptors?" General Myers replied, "Well, we're in the middle of a war game exercises." And other people connected with NORAD and with the FAA, when they got word that there were reported 4 hijackings of aircraft, their initial response was, "Well, is this real or is this part of the war games?"
Now, Jim, I'm going to agree with you that Richard Clark is a credible source. There's no question about that in my mind. Are you saying that, because I haven't read it, if I don't know about it, you tell me about it. Is this in his book, Against All Enemies, the War Games Exercises?
On page 6, I believe it is.
Okay.
Just right as he starts into it. Furthermore, I've also talked with people within the Pentagon, and there's been many other investigators and other things published. David Ray Griffin, the professor emeritus, has in his book, New Pearl Harbor, also goes into this. And plus, I have my own sources within the Pentagon. Now, here's the clincher. How did the hijackers know when to coordinate their attack with these war game exercises? And the fact is, they did, because it was announced and published in the mainstream media that the National Security Agency intercepted an electronic message from Mohammed Atta, who has been pointed to as the head of the hijackers, the day before, on September the 10th, and his message said, the match is about to begin. Tomorrow is 0 hour. He didn't say the jihad or the operation or the attack. He said the match. So the games, they knew the games were starting the next day. How could they know this unless they had inside information? Because, as I said, most of us didn't realize the reality of these war games for more than a year. And then more than 2 years later, when the 9/11 Commission issued their report, they only mentioned the war games in a footnote. They did not want everybody to know about these war games that confounded our defense systems.
Do you happen to have the number of that footnote in the Commission report? Do you know it offhand?
If I was at my office, I could find it right
away. No problem.
I can get that later. I don't know if it's listed in the index, but the war games were vigilant guardian, vigilant warrior. And the word I get is vigilant warrior was the attacking force, vigilant guardian was the defending force. And by the way, Mark, there's been a lot of accusation that Flight 93, which crashed New Hampshire.
Pennsylvania.
Near Shanksville, was shot down by U.S. military, okay?
I've heard that allegation. I'm not sure I'm convinced of it, though, because we know we have the cell phones of the passengers talking to, and not just one cell phone call, but several cell phone calls to a number of family members talking about how they're going to try and grab the terrorists and take over the plane.
Right. Well, now, first off, actually, you nor I nor anyone else that I know of has actually heard cell phone calls from those airplanes. In fact, it was only about a year ago that they announced that they had come up with a chip that might allow cell phone calls to be made from high-flying aircraft. The calls you're referring to on Flight 93 were made from those backseat radio telephones, which were accessed by the passengers, and surprisingly enough, we were told that they were herded to the back of the plane and then left unguarded, and so several of them made calls on those radio telephones.
Jim, we need to take
true.
A break.
We don't know about the cell phone calls because, to the best of my knowledge, and I've checked into it thoroughly, you're not able to make a cell phone call up until recently.
Jim, we've got to take a break right now, but I definitely want to get into all of this. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
How would you like to work less, spend more time with your family, and make more money than you have ever dreamed of? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful children and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about EasyBiz23.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month, and now she earns $16,000 a month. Tori says before she started her own business, she worked 10 hours a day in a high-pressure job. She wore out her car commuting back and forth to work. Now she makes over $100,000 a year in her pajamas. Go online to find out more at EasyBiz23.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's www.EasyBiz23.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to EasyBiz23.com. That's EasyBiz, the number 23.com.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 5495, 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest today is Jim Mars. He is the author of Inside Job, which argues that the government had a role, a major role perhaps, in causing 9/11. We're talking about all the facts and evidence he has that backs this up, and I'm very concerned about the details and the proof of the evidence because I know how easy it is for Republicans to take one thing wrong and to suggest the entire thing is wrong. The clearest example for me is the data that Bush went AWOL. We know Bush was absent without leave from the Texas National Guard. I have it all on my website at radioinsightscoop.com. I have the actual documents. But they got a couple of forged documents, and they used those to suggest the entire thing was untrue. So I think it's very important that everything be provable. And Jim Mars has given me all the evidence he can in the limited time we have here on radio. If you want to call in, the number is 877-528-TALK. Now, Jim, before we went to break, I was asking you about cell phone calls from Flight 93. I went back during the break, and I was looking at CNN and some other sites, and the mainstream media has reported that it was cell phones, not those phones in the back of the plane.
That's right, but where did they get that information? From the government.
Well, they got it from the 911 people.
Where have you ever heard any transcript, any live recording that was made from those cell phone calls that went to the airlines, went to the government, went to 9/11 response? I haven't.
Well, that's a great question because you're right. One of them said that they called 911, and those calls are taped.
Exactly.
So, now, so I would think we could hear that.
There's a huge technical argument over there. It's my understanding that at that time, if you're in an airplane above 5,000 feet traveling more than, 150 miles an hour, then your cell phone signal could not be picked up by a cell phone tower because you'd lose it by the time you went past it. But I don't want to get bogged down in technical things.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get bogged down either. My understanding was Flight 93 was actually flying low so they could search on the ground for, landmarks and all. So
but
we'll move on to other things.
I want to tell you about Flight 93. Was in an interview with the F-16 pilot that was trailing Flight 93 and had shoot down orders. He said he could not have shot down that plane even if he'd wanted to because he was only carrying training ammunition and no missiles because he was on war game exercises. Again, a reason to show that the war game exercises played a huge role in 9/11. Now, something brought down Flight 93. It did not crash into the ground. I'm a award-winning aviation writer from many years back, and I assure you, if a plane comes down and barrels into the ground, the wreckage is right there, and you got a huge crater where it smashed in. The Flight 93 left a debris trail more than 8 miles long, including mail, clothing, all kinds of stuff. That plane was coming apart in midair. Something destroyed that plane in the air, and my best guess at this point is because we do know from cockpit transmissions that the hijacker said they had a bomb on board. They probably did. And apparently that bomb went off. And I think there's only two possibilities. Either they suicided themselves, triggering the bomb once they realized the passengers had regained control, or, and what I strongly suspect, is that it was triggered remotely to destroy all the evidence of what had actually happened on board that plane.
Now, is it your argument that all four planes were triggered remotely or just Flight 93?
I think that what we do know is that in the summer of 2001, a Boeing 737 took off from Edwards Air Force Base, flew to Australia, flew 12 missions, flew back, landed safely at Edwards, all the while with no one on board. This is Global Hawk technology, remote-controlled aircraft on aircraft that fly-by-wire like the Boeing larger heavy-bodied series. So for someone to argue that perhaps the flights that crashed into the World Trade Center and the four hijacked planes that day were captured electronically, this is not as far-fetched as it sounds. The technology was there and was well within our capability.
See, I'll tell you how all this affects me, Jim. And again, as I said, I'm no fan of the administration. But to me, the evidence that such a thing is possible, maybe it is possible. But for you to convince me, you're going to have to convince me that it's probable, not just that it's possible that the government, put something on the plane.
That would, if they were captured electronically, it would explain why the transponders of all four hijack airplanes went off at the same time. That is virtually impossible. If they were, you know, you had to hijack the airplane, you had to locate the transponder, you had to turn it off, they would not have all gone off simultaneously, and yet they did. This is another indication. Another indication is some of the maneuvers that were carried out by these planes. The plane that hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center almost missed. It was making a very, very serious banking turn at the time, almost outside the limitations set by governors on those airplanes to prevent discomfort to the crew and passengers.
Okay. Let's take another break. I'm sorry. That's just the nature of radio. I promise we'll get right back to you. If you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I wasn't aware that all the transponders were turned off at the same time. I haven't seen that anywhere, but we're taking it from Jim Mars, and he's given some strong evidence. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. President Bush told Americans this afternoon Hurricane Katrina is one of the worst natural disasters in the nation's history. He surveyed the damage from Air Force One as he flew back to the White House. Even though the area is flooded, as temperatures climb, health experts worry about dehydration. They note Gulf Coast residents are struggling to find clean food and water. Computer security companies warn that email scams are already circulating, soliciting donations for fake disaster relief funds for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Katrina was this season's third major hurricane, and National Hurricane Center forecasters are saying another 2 to 4 major storms may threaten the U.S. before the season ends in November. Stock market gained some ground, the Dow up 70 points to 10,482. You'll find a link to a list of Hurricane Katrina relief resources and more news at usaradio.com.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn 2 or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about 1 in 3 people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-877-3-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think Nexium, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if Nexium is right for you.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Are your allergies acting up? A study suggests that the trouble may lie in your car. Researchers have previously identified home carpets and furniture, especially bedding, as areas where dust mites and pet dander can build up. Many people are allergic to these substances, and no one is surprised to learn that dog and cat debris is highest in homes where there are pets. But a new study published in the Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology has shown surprisingly that cars may carry significant amounts of dog and cat allergens, especially on the driver's seat. Another surprise is that sofas and chairs may also be reservoirs for these troublesome particles, even when there aren't any pets in the home. Presumably, the allergens are carried in on visitors' clothes and settle to stay. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest today is Jim Mars. He's the author of The Inside Job, and he argues government complicity in September 11th. We're going through a lot of things that I have heard, but I guess I really want to see the proof, if you will. And so I'm asking Jim Mars some tough questions. Jim,
okay, go right ahead.
First
off, one of your problems seems to be, Mark, is, and as is mine and everybody else's, is, oh, my God, would the government? government even considered doing something like this to its own people. Let me direct your attention to Operation Northwoods, which was a plan that was approved by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, okay, and it called for bombs setting off in American cities, planes being hijacked, even assassinations, and it was all to be blamed on Castro.
See, actually, Jim, I go farther than that. I'm not arguing that this administration isn't capable of anything. My question is that I think that we've got to, whether for fairness or just because if we get something wrong, it makes everything we say about the Bush administration look bad, we've got to have solid proof, solid evidence of this.
Okay,
so
here,
I don't want to argue that it's not capable.
Here's two items that I'll throw that are nothing more than common sense questions, and I think we should demand common sense answers.
Okay.
Number one, if indeed there is this terrible terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda, out there somewhere, bent on slipping weapons of mass destruction into our nation, don't you think the first thing that our national leaders should do is to tighten security on our borders?
Absolutely. In my very first show,
but
I argued that
happened,
we...
Has it,
no,
Mark?
It hasn't. You're absolutely right about that.
Now, number two...
And that I have evidence of because I worked in Congress at the time. You're absolutely right about that.
It hadn't happened. Obviously, they're not that concerned about people coming across the border, so they must know something. Number two, we had the collapse of the World Trade Centers, and there's a whole lot we could talk about that, but let's just ask ourselves this one major question. This was the first instance and only instance of a modern skyscraper collapsing due to fire. All right. It killed more firemen than any other event in U.S. history. It was the largest structural collapse in the history of the world. You would think that to this very day, experts from all over the world would be crawling over that debris, studying that steel, studying all that evidence to find out what in the world made those buildings that were designed to withstand aircraft strikes.
But not ones that big. I mean, to be fair, they were built in the 1970s, and we didn't have planes that big then, right, Jim?
They were built to withstand airplane strikes. I can remember when I was a little kid, a six-engine bomber flew into the Empire State
That's
Building.
Right. 1948.
It didn't collapse.
That's correct. But the
okay,
plane was a
was
lot smaller than
the World Trade Centers.
Well, you know, 757's a lot bigger than the plane that hit the Empire State Building. Do you know of another...
Oh, come on. A plane's a plane, and planes are built lightweight. Weight is everything on an aircraft, okay? They're made out of aluminum, for God's sake.
Yeah, but it's the jet fuel. Let me ask you this, Jim. Do you know of a 757?
You know, there were, again, how come all of the emergency radio transmissions of the New York Fire Department and Police Department were confiscated by the FBI and have never been heard by anyone in the media or the public? Did they have something to hide? But they missed one. They missed the Port Authority of New York. And about a year later, the Port Authority said, yes, we were taping all of those transmissions. So now we have the transmissions from... Battalion Chief Oreo Palmer and Fire Marshal Ronald Buca, all of whom reached within a couple of floors of the fire in the tower, okay, and they in the South Tower. And here's what they said, Battalion 7, Ladder 15, we've got two isolated pockets of fire. We should be able to knock it down with two lines, radio that, 78th floor, numerous two. Okay, so they weren't concerned. They saw a few little desultory fires up there that said, bring us a couple of more lines and we can take care of this. All right? And the only reason we know that is because the FBI did not think to go confiscate the Port Authority's radio transmissions.
See, I don't think, to me, it just says that there are different areas where there was fire here. My understanding is, in fact, that the jet fuel went down the
well,
main shaft.
Well, if there were different areas, why did the building collapse just symmetrically, straight down on all floors? Wouldn't it have toppled one way or another if one section was damaged but not the other?
Well, I seem to recall, and I watched it fall down, as did, you know, millions of Americans and probably all of our listeners, I seem to recall it tilting to one side for a little bit, for a few seconds, and then falling straight down.
You're absolutely right. That's good observation. I saw the same thing, and I thought at the time, my God, that thing's going to topple off, fall over into the city, causing more destruction and more death. But it didn't do it, did it? It settled straight down upon itself. That is the earmark of a controlled building demolition. Now, let's go take the testimony of Mike Percararo and William Rodriguez, among two, there's several others now, who were in the basements of those buildings. Mike Percararo was in the sixth floor sub-basement when the building shook, and he got to his feet, called upstairs, said, what happened? Nobody seemed to know. So he and a worker moved up to the third floor machine shop underground, and he said that it was just gone. He said there was nothing but rubble, and he said, we're talking about a 50-ton hydraulic press, just gone. And then they went up to the third floor parking garage, and it was destroyed. They made their way to the lobby, and it was destroyed. What destroyed the sub-basements and the lobby of the North Tower before the building collapsed?
I thought the jet fuel came down the elevator shafts. I thought
that might explain some burns on the elevator, but it doesn't explain a missing 50-ton hydraulic press in the third underground basement machine shop.
Okay, fair enough. Let me go to my listener. I've got Dave from Northern California. Dave is the reason you're on the show today, Jim. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, Jim, I've passed two copies of your book around in discussion groups here, and it's definitely connected the dots for us. It's hard to condense it all into a short program like this.
Yeah, you're right.
One of the things that struck me, some 58, 60 dozens of warnings, clear warnings, were received at the White House. So the decision to conduct war games at that particular time was more than a convenience, in my opinion.
I think you're right. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, because somehow all of this information does not seem to filter through the corporate mass news media. But just recently, within the past week or so, it has been found and spoken out about two or three Pentagon officials plus a Republican congressman who said that there was a secret U.S. Army intelligence team who a year before 9/11 identified Mohammed Atta and three of the other claimed hijackers as members of an al-Qaeda cell. Okay, so in other words, somewhere up topside, they knew Mohammed Atta was al-Qaeda. And then all you have to do is connect the dot to the 1995 arrest in the Philippines, where they busted an al-Qaeda cell and found their plans for Operation Bojinka, which called for hijacking airliners and flying them into public structures, specifically naming the World Trade Center.
Jim, let me state where I know you're right, and where I'm still I've stated where I'm skeptical. Let me say that what you just said now, I do know you're right. I've seen the reports, I've seen the documents. There's no question that we had ample information and we should have connected the dots. I just still can't be convinced quite yet that the government actually caused this rather than negligently allowing it to happen. We've got to take a break, but I'll give you plenty more time when we come back. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Ever since that horrible day, September 11, 2001, I, like most Americans, have wanted to know what happened. And in my research, I have found a number of awful things. No question, the government had lots of information they should have known to prevent the attacks. No question, this administration misused the attacks for their own purposes. No question that there are still terrible Homeland Security absences, vulnerabilities, I should say, that we still have today this administration has done nothing about, and I've reported on all of them. But when it comes to some of the things Jim Marrs is saying, I'm not ready to go all the way yet because I feel like we need a lot of strong evidence before we go there. But I'm giving Jim Marrs a chance to make the argument. Jim Marrs, which do you think is the strongest? Is it that the World Trade Center, that explosions brought it down? Or which do you think is the thing you've got strongest evidence of government complicity in 9/11?
Well, as you know, I built my part of my career on investigating the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I'm going through it all again because some of the things you're throwing at me, Mark, no offense. But
no offense taken.
It sounds like, you know, the same thing I heard back in the 70s with people going, there were some problems with the assassination, but surely you don't believe that somebody other than Lee Harvey Oswald did it. And I'm going, yes, I do. And, of course, history has proved me right. And I will be proved right on this because I have checked and double-checked my sources. I have talked to people. I interviewed a woman who crawled through the hole on the west side of the Pentagon, okay, which photos taken early on before the wall collapsed clearly show are only about 20 feet high and maybe 20 feet wide at most. The wingspan of a 757 is 149 feet. There's no way some airplane went through that hole. It just didn't happen.
What if the wing came off on the ground before it came through the hole?
So where are they? Where are they? In fact, as we all know, after every major air disaster, they take every little scrap, every little piece of that airplane, and they take it to a big hangar, and they reassemble it to find out what caused the crash. Show me a picture of the reassembled 757 in a hangar somewhere, and I'll shut up about the Pentagon, but nobody showed us that, and they won't, because it didn't happen.
Well, we haven't seen a reassembled piece. I have seen photos, though, of a portion of the wing.
You saw the piece lying on the grass,
right.
Which was not, if you'll think back, Mark, you'll remember that early on they told us the plane hit the ground in front of the Pentagon and ricocheted into the building.
That's right. That is what they said.
That's what they said. But then, see, again, they flubbed because they didn't realize that firemen and bystanders had digital cameras, and they're going to rush home and put those pictures on the Internet. So we now have them available, and it's clear from the green grass that nothing hit the lawn of the Pentagon. So then they changed their story. Oh, well, okay, it didn't hit and ricochet in. It just punched through the building and just went right in there, and in that extreme fire with all that jet fuel, it just dissolved everything, people and the office stuff. Well, if that's the case, how did April Glaspie survive to crawl out through that hole to talk to me?
It was April Glaspie.
Thanks to heaven.
Wait, our former ambassador in Iraq, the same April Glaspie or a different one?
No, I'm sorry. I said April Glaspie. Let me correct myself. You're right. That was
I know that name. She's the one who invited Saddam Hussein into Kuwait back in 1990.
Yeah, who gave him the green light to
invade
Kuwait. No, this is April Gallup.
Okay, fair enough. I was curious.
She was an employee of the Pentagon. She was inside the building when whatever it was struck. She was blown off her feet. She was immediately concerned about her small child. She'd stopped by to do some work before taking him to daycare that day, and she found her child. They were both injured, but not critically, and they both crawled through the opening on the west side of the Pentagon. Now, I maintain that's not possible if the fire was that intense at that point.
Jim, let me ask you this.
There are photographs showing when the wall collapsed. I could send you photographs showing open office spaces where books are still lying on the table. Now, they did burn up.
No, but the fire can burn something below, and then the roof can collapse from the top, and then it wouldn't be burning the books, right?
If that fire was so intense that it completely destroyed that aircraft and all of those passengers, as we are told it did, then nothing would have survived in that whole area.
What if it wasn't destroyed by fire, but by the mere, well, and I shouldn't say mere because it's strong, the huge physical impact of a large plane hitting a large building like the Pentagon? What
but
if
see,
it
Mark,
wasn't
now
fire?
Now you're offering me what ifs, okay?
Well, see, I don't know what happened.
You can't prove it. I can't prove it. In fact, that's my point. This whole thing has never been investigated. No, let me tell you something. We're told the World Trade Center towers collapsed because the structural steel could not withstand the high temperatures of the burning jet fuel, and the whole thing just fell down. Okay? Well, I have met and talked with Kevin Ryan, who worked for United Laboratories and who was fired when he pointed out to his superiors that they had certified that steel to withstand just those very same temperatures.
Let me go to the phones. I've got John from Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. John, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Oh, hi, Mark. It's actually Peterborough with no S in there.
Excuse me, Peterborough. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, I don't know that really is a question, but I just tuned in. I'd stopped listening to the Inside Scoop some months ago because I felt the evidence was so clear that the government did do this, and that a sharp guy like you would have detected that if you'd looked at the evidence. I felt that you weren't doing useful programming.
Well, I apologize to you,
John. I was really impressed by the stuff before I discovered the evidence that Jim Mars is talking about today, and I think anyone like you who looked at the humongous amount of evidence that is available would come to the conclusion that it couldn't possibly be explained. The physical evidence can't be explained in any other way than that there was a controlled demolition.
Well, John, I can certainly take criticism. I think that's it's fair to criticize me. I'll tell you this. I've looked at, for example, there's a strong article, which I'm going to give Jim a chance to respond to, in Popular Mechanics that goes through a lot of these
that's
things.
It's not a strong article. That's ridiculous.
It's not a strong article. It's full of holes.
It doesn't just explain one thing. Ask anybody. How did the towers fall at the speed of the maximum that an object could have fallen in a vacuum? How did they hit the ground in 10 seconds when Galileo's law tells you that it would have taken 9.2 seconds for a bowling ball to hit the ground from the top of the tower in a vacuum?
Well, I don't think they hit the ground in 10 seconds. There was a lot of smoke there. It's very hard for any of us to see behind that smoke exactly when it hit the ground.
Well, the seismic information indicates about 10 seconds.
That's right.
And even with the smoke and all of the debris, it couldn't amount to more than 13 or 14 seconds. Again, how did all the mass of those structures give no resistance, virtually no more resistance than air, to the falling body?
Secondly,
high-tech explosives accounts for the fact that there's no concrete rubble? No shards of glass, that all the concrete in the building and all the glass was exploded to a fine dust.
Okay, well, we have to take another break. John, stay on the line. You know, you're giving me some strong stuff. I'll tell you, my understanding is the pancake theory would work. I'm not an engineer, but I'm bringing you on because I'm listening to both of you. We'll be right back after this.
Want to know how a bad toupee saved a young executive from baldness? Bobby started losing his hair in his 20s. He was athletic, strong, and had begun his family, yet his confidence dwindled with his hair loss. So he tried a toupee. They promised it would look like real hair. What he got was itchy and unnatural. Then he decided to do research on hair loss. He found out he could get his own natural hair to grow back. He interviewed the doctors and other medical hair restoration clients, and he was amazed at the results. Now, for the happy ending, Bobby looks incredible. He says MHR changed his attitude in life. If you're losing your hair, don't spend a penny until you get the free interactive DVD from Medical Hair Restoration to learn about the natural options. See real life before and after pictures and get the full story on getting your real hair back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation. Call 800-936-2823. 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now. 800-936-2823.
When you're weary In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
I will lay me down when you're weary.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. To find out how you can help, contact the American Red Cross today. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
I will lay me down.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've got just a few minutes left. You know, before I did this radio job, I worked as an attorney in Congress. Before that, I was a trial lawyer in California. One of the things we learned in law school was not to overstate your case. Whenever you had a case against someone, there were things that were very clear, very provable, and then there were things that you thought probably were true, but you just didn't have the kind of solid evidence you had on some of the rest of the case. And they taught you, and I followed this, that if you have enough to make your case, don't throw in the stuff that is not as strong because it makes all the rest of it look weak. I think there is strong evidence of the ample proof of this administration and its horrors doing things like violating the Constitution, planning the war in Iraq long before 9/11. All of that is unimpeachable evidence. When it comes to some of the things that Jim Marge is arguing, I just think the evidence isn't quite strong there. Now, I know John from Peterborough, Ontario, is very angry at me and says that he stopped listening to the show because he thinks I haven't given this a fair look. John, go ahead. Criticize me. You have that right.
Well, I agree 100% that you shouldn't water down a strong case with putting forward something that doesn't stand up. But
that's what they did
when you look at the key points here, if there's no other physical way to explain how the towers fell so quickly, no steel building in the history of the world has ever collapsed from fire.
Which one has been hit by 757, though? I mean, I just don't know of another one that has.
Well, but there's only fire. And the third building, World Trade Center 7, 47-story building, also collapsed that day at 5:30,
right.
And it wasn't hit by an airplane.
That's true. My understanding is they had
all
some diesel fuel.
All owned by the same landlord, all
diesel
in a controlled demolition,
I hear you.
All showing the same signs of a controlled demolition.
Let me give Jim Mars the last word. Jim, how would you respond, and have you responded on your website to the Popular Mechanics article, and where can listeners find out more of your arguments and buy your book as well?
Well, let me make two points. One, you're an attorney. Are you a trial lawyer?
Used to be.
Okay. Then what happens in a criminal case, murder case, if you will, and you find out that one of the suspects has taken evidence and destroyed it?
It makes you very suspicious.
It's a criminal offense, isn't it?
It makes you very suspicious. And yes, it is a criminal offense.
Okay. They destroyed the evidence of the World Trade Center. No one has been objectively able to study it. But now this takes us to the Popular Mechanics article. Their chief researcher was Benjamin Chertoff.
Really?
Okay. Nobody has mentioned that he was the family member and cousin to Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security.
Fair
now,
enough,
really,
and I do not trust the Chertoff. No, that's a good point. I didn't realize that.
You didn't realize that, and let me tell you something. He is a liar, because when a newsman contacted him and asked him if he was a cousin to Michael Chertoff, head of Homeland Security, he said, "Oh, I don't know about that." But when they called his mother, she promptly said, "Oh, yeah, of course, he's our cousin."
No, that's very interesting, though I have
Isn't
to tell
that interesting?
You, one of the problems I have with some arguments, and I swear I condemn this on the right and the left, is when people attack the person right in the argument. I will agree with you. If he's a cousin of the Chertoffs, that makes it very suspicious. But at the same time...
And just like the 9/11 Commission, the Popular Mechanics article is, I condemn it not so much for what they said, but for what they didn't say. They left out the most cogent arguments, and out of their 16 issues, almost half of them were spurious straw man issues that even the even most of the skeptics and 9/11
Jim, we only have a few seconds left. Tell me where your website is and how people can look at a response to the Popular Mechanics article and where they can buy your book.
Okay, jimmarrs.com, JIMMARRS.com, and you'll find a wide range of stuff there. I'm a wide-ranging journalist. I'll look at everything. Now, let me just wind up with this, Mark.
10 seconds.
Okay, here it is. They were either involved, our government leaders were either involved